thank you. You, this is the Pacifica National Board Programming Committee of October 2nd, 2018. I'm Catherine Davis, the convener of this committee, and I'm going to take the official roll call. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Ken Aaron.
Here.
Catherine Davis. Here. Benito Diaz.
Present.
James Dingman, or Jim Dingman.
Here.
King Downing. Absent, not here. Anissa Faruqi. Absent. Sabrina Jacobs. Absent. Dwayne Lark.
Present.
Thank you, present. Efian Langaza. Absent. Steve Pride.
Here.
Present. Eric Rainey.
Present.
Murray Cliff Smith is on medical leave. Cliff Smith from KPFT. Absent. Tom Voorhees, KPFA.
Here.
Present. Thank you. Lewis Wolf, WPFW.
That's a mistake, Catherine. He should not be on this committee.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I made a mistake. That's why I created this problem. I made a mistake at the first meeting. I thought that he was on this committee. So I sent you an email, or the group an email to that effect. But I found out later on I was mistaken.
Okay.
So it's my fault.
All right, no problem. I've taken him off the list. We'll have to remove him from the other list. It takes quorum down by one, and we do have quorum. So we shall proceed. I would like to ask for volunteers for timekeepers, a timekeeper at least, to keep comments. In previous meeting we did 90 seconds each.
This is Kent. I'll volunteer to, I'll time the speakers.
Kent, okay. Excellent.
Madam Chair, if I may, can we strictly enforce the time factor, a few seconds here or there, but, not more than 10 seconds over, please.
Yes, let's try to do that. Thank you. So let me read the agenda. Official roll call, appoint timekeepers, changes or additions to the agenda, approve minutes, final nominations for officers, chair, vice chair, and secretary, vote for officers. Some of the old business that is in process, review of what was done in the past and follow up, which included report from the IED and setting up interviews with program directors, a questionnaire for the program directors, which included compilation of written questions and a timeline, a discussion of potential objectives for the program committee to work on going forward. Underneath that is coordinating, sharing information about the midterm elections, that's the national U.S. elections, working on traffic management, station IDs, promotion, utilizing airtime, training issues, alternative stations, doing internet radio, streaming costs, etc., podcasting, digital, analog, and discussing the U word, underwriting, a motion to be made on and voted on, develop a proposal submitted to the PMB. And on new business, we have analyze and discuss programming and adjournment at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we've lost a half an hour. I would recommend a change to adjournment time to 10:30 p.m. Unless there are any objections. But are there any other changes or additions to this agenda?
Catherine, I have a simple question.
Yes, Benito.
Yeah, could you explain what you mean by vote for officers? And I asked the question because I thought we were supposed to agree on a process at today's meeting.
Okay. I understood that we were going to close nominations today.
Yeah.
And then following that, vote for officers. But certainly we could change that to finalize process to vote for officers. Are you suggesting that change?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the story?
Point of information. We settled this last week, 2 weeks ago. We voted that we would, this would be the final day for this process with the nominations to happen, and then we would have voting by email. We voted on that more or less.
Voting by email. Okay, that's fine. Voting by email. Okay, so the voting has to be voting by email. Okay.
Okay, who was it that just said?
I believe that was Jim Dingman. So
yeah, that was Jim. I just went through the minutes for the past 3 hours, so I know that we voted on that.
Okay, so the voting will not take place today. Okay. Excellent. So that is the agenda. Are there any changes or questions about the agenda?
Yeah, Catherine, it's Eric in Washington.
Eric.
Where on the agenda is the issue of... we may have already decided. I thought there was a vote. Okay, I'm sorry. Just cancel that.
Okay. Are there any other questions or changes for the agenda? Okay, hearing none, the agenda is approved. Now we can approve the minutes. Are there any changes or additions to the minutes? Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved. Are there any nominations for officers, chair, vice chair, and secretary? I believe Catherine, myself, was nominated for chair. I believe Jim Dingman was nominated for chair.
Catherine, I'll withdraw my chair nomination because it looks like we need to get the vice chair and the secretary filled. If you want to continue doing it, I have no problem with that at all.
Okay, so do we have a nomination for vice chair, and secretary?
Ken. Jim Dingman for vice chair.
Jim Dingman for vice chair.
Is this Catherine speaking? I'm sorry.
Yes, this is Catherine. I'm the convener.
Yes.
So that was nominated by Ken. And I would like to nominate Jim Dingman for secretary.
You would?
Yes, I would.
I like that.
I'll do that for the time being too, but I want one of y'all to help me soon. Someone help me, okay, as we're doing this.
Okay, do we have other nominations for chair, vice chair, and secretary?
Catherine Benito.
Yes, Benito.
You know, maybe we don't necessarily need a vice chair, although it would be preferable. Maybe we could just go with chair and secretary, for, at least for now, and see how it works.
Jim to the sack?
Yes, Jim.
Yeah, I don't want to be stuck. Last time we had Carol willing to help, and I need someone willing to help me with the secretary function. I don't want to be stuck doing that completely all the time. It takes a couple of hours to listen to everybody talk, which I don't mind doing, but I just need someone else to volunteer to help me do this function.
Okay. Well, I take notes. I could send you my notes. They're not in order. They're not maybe as comprehensible as a secretarial note, but I do take notes.
Catherine, I'd like to go to the stack, if I might. This is Eric.
Yes, Eric.
Yeah, I think lack of having a VP places an undue burden on the secretary. And so in the event, for whatever reason, the chair is not able to be on the call or whatever, that a vice chair could step in, but just simply to not have a vice chair is...
Okay. Well, I nominate Eric as vice chair. Do you accept, Eric?
I do, yes.
Okay, excellent.
I'm glad someone has got a sense of humor.
Okay. Okay, do we have any other...
Ken. This is Ken.
Yes.
Well, it seems like Jim has pushed down a secretary from vice chair, and then Eric got vice chair, but wasn't offered the option of being secretary. So since we're going to do this with sending in the votes, I think a person could run for two positions, because we're just going to vote for each position. And if a person doesn't win vice chair, he might win secretary. So I renominate Jim for vice chair.
Okay.
Okay, I'll withdraw my nomination if I might.
Then is that maybe Eric's willing to be secretary?
Oh, that's what I could not be. Yeah, that.
All right, to hell with it. I'll do the secretary job. Let him do the vice chair job. No big deal. Eric?
I'm here.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, Eric, you do the vice chair thing. Don't worry about it. We just got to get the whole thing, the show on the road. I'll do the secretary job. No big deal.
Okay,
so do we have one?
Okay, Anissa from Houston.
Hello, Anissa. Thank you for joining us. We are taking nominations for... Yes?
Hello, this is Fred. Fred Blair. And I'm the one to do the streaming tonight. Otis is at the Grassroots Radio Conference in Portland, Oregon.
I think we're on the stream. He came on and put us on the stream.
No, you're not currently on the stream until I put you on. When you're ready, I will start the stream up.
Well, I had the impression we were on the stream, but if we're not, can you please put us on the stream?
Yes,
right
I
away?
Will. Right now. Wait a second. What's going on here?
Otis popped his head in and said he was putting us on the stream.
Well, there's confusion then. This is if you're live, then I will get off the call.
Okay, can you double check to make sure we're live, please, before you go away?
I'm doing that right now.
Thank you.
Confusion then. This is if you're live, then I will get off the call. You are live. I will get off the call now.
Excellent. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time. Okay, that's good. We don't have to to start again. So now we have one nomination for each position. Do we need an election?
Benita?
Nah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes, no. Benita.
Maybe we should just ask one last time, are there any more nominations? If not so, it's by acclamation, so we don't need, you know, an email process.
Oh, okay. So I'm happy to ask again, are there any more nominations for officers, chair, vice chair, or secretary? Hearing none. We have by acclamation as chair, Catherine Davis, vice chair, Eric Ramey, and secretary, Jim Dingman.
Oh, let me first say I'm honored.
Thank you. I appreciate it because that means it's true. You never know. okay, so on our agenda, the first thing in old business is to review what was done in the past and follow up, continue if necessary.
In the same branch area, 12 to 8 Saturday, Pagan Pride Day at the fellowship.
I'm sorry? Who is this? I'm sorry, who was that? I didn't get that. So the first part was we had requested a report from the IED, whom said they would give a report. As far as I know, that hasn't been done, and we're in the middle of a transition process, I do believe. So we may need to revisit that. But does anyone have a comment on this report from the IED? Or
this is Ken to the staff, just for a second. I believe any board member could update us on whether or not we have an ED appointed or not.
I can update us. Hello?
Yes, Gray.
Yeah. We hired an ED pending background check, which I believe the background check is complete. The last final bit of this will be voted on Thursday, I believe, or something like that. But it hasn't been completely wrapped up, the hiring process. Within a few days, it will be official.
Okay.
This is Anissa from Houston. Which station has the IED? Because we still don't have one, I know.
No, we're talking about the Pacifica IED, ED, and for the network is what we're referring to. So that we will have to convey this question of to the ED that was originally conveyed to the IED. So that will have to wait perhaps until the next meeting once that has been determined. Okay. And the other part is the piece on setting up interviews with program directors. And as a part of that was creating a questionnaire for program directors. So perhaps, Ken, since you were spearheading that effort, you can give a report on that.
Okay. I'm going to turn my timer on, huh?
Yes, please do.
This is Ken Aaron. I emailed two sets of questions, one by Jim Dingaman and one by myself. It's inside a worksheet called programming.xlsx. And you all have it, and there's a lot of questions, maybe more than we need, but it's thorough. The key issue on this is we are not interviewing this is not to interview candidates. This is to interview people who are working as program directors. In fact, we're looking to hire a program director at KPFK. I believe WPFW is looking to hire a program director. I'm not sure if KPFT has one.
We don't, as far as I know.
Our program directors. Maybe somebody could bring up on that. But we don't have one at KPFK. I'm sure about that. And I just spoke with somebody at BAI. They have a new program director who's been there about a month or less. I don't know.
Yes, an interim.
So just let me finish. So in regards to the questions, I suggest we look them over and send the email to... send a spreadsheet to the program directors that are working and say, answer these questions as best you can or care to, and then that'll help us in our upcoming scheduled interview. And I would suggest we use my questions. But we can review them now, or you could look at them and make comments. That's about all I could say on it.
Okay. I would like to be on the staff, but I will put anyone else who would like to speak to this issue on the staff first.
Well, Anissa for the staff, the only person that could do it from our Houston area that I know of is Dwayne Lark, and I'm not sure if he's still on the call, but I don't have email access, and our other... member Cliff Smith is out with health concerns.
Okay. This is Catherine for the stack. I actually think that these questions should be sent from one designated person representing the committee to all the concerned program directors rather than being more scattered, and so that there could be one reception point for the answers. And I guess I would recommend I guess either Ken Aaron or Jim Dingman to be that focus person. Or anyone else that wants to volunteer, but I think it would be better done with one representative of the committee rather than Helter Skelter. So that's what I'm proposing.
Benito says, thanks.
Yes, Benito.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, and maybe I could suggest that, The two people who, who put together a set of questions sit together and come up with their own, unified.
Okay, so
Ken
you want...
Ken to the stack.
Yes, Ken.
I volunteer that Jim Dingman and I compose a questionnaire, and I'll send it out. We'll decide amongst us who'll be the terminal. If you're appointing, it should come from the chair, but the chair can appoint somebody. So I'll volunteer to do the correspondence. But since there's not any input from anybody else, I think it's appropriate if Jim and I just come confer and come to an agreement about questions. I just don't want to overload. It's easy to sit there and write questions. I don't want to overload the program director or try to embarrass them or ask them questions that they might not know, like, how do you spell, what was Lou Hill's middle name, or, some silly questions like that. Me and Jim are doing this, so let us finish it, and I'll do the correspondence. That's what I'm volunteering to do.
Ken, you will do the correspondence.
Yes.
To the program directors.
Yep.
And can we have the questionnaire returned officially to the secretary?
Yeah. that'll be Jim Dingman, yes.
Yeah.
Well, then in that case,
I mean,
if Jim Dingman's going to be the receipt, then he'll be the one that's sending it. That's simple.
Yeah, but Ken,
it's like a game of handball.
He says, why don't we both?
That's the response.
All right, Jim to the stack.
Yes, Jim.
Yeah, we both receive it because, you know, you could, I don't want, it's great to have you initiate that, but why don't we just both get it, you know, and then we can share it. It'd be easier if you write the initial letter or approach to them, and we can both receive it in our email, and then we can share it with everybody else.
Okay. All right. That works for me. Benito, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that before these questions go to these PDs, that committee is able to, you know, read and finalize them.
This is Ken to the stack.
Yes, Ken.
In response to that, there are 15 members on the committee. We're not designing the new Empire State Building. It's just a questionnaire going to program directors. So we don't need to get the approval of everybody on the committee. I already sent it out. There's time. If something there that you consider is obscene or shouldn't be communicated, let us know. Otherwise, it's just questions, and I don't want to wait to get the opinions of 15 people. We want to move on stuff. We don't want to procrastinate. So I disagree with that concept of stalling by going through. Everybody on the committee's got to put a stamp of their approval on this. It just isn't that significant. And it's kind of a questionnaire leading up to an interview.
Okay, Catherine, put myself on the stack. Then Benito. Ken, I would say that I don't feel it's stalling, but I think it would be helpful if before you sent out the email to the PDs, you just sent the final questions to the committee.
I did.
You sent two lists.
Yeah. The final questions will come from those. So if somebody objects, I don't want to make up a third list. The final questions will come from those. If people look at those and say, well, there's not enough questions, there's too many, take out this one, add that one, they can do that. But I don't want to start, you know, rewrite. Let's just So I can say that the members of the committee can open up the Excel file, look at the two lists of questions, and send comments back to me. I'm composing the list. That's the task I have. If I don't get any response by, what's today, Tuesday? If I don't get a response by Friday, then I'll go ahead and send things out.
And why do you, may I ask,
I don't think there's going to be any response. I don't think anybody's going to do anything because nobody else made up any questions, just me and Jim.
Why do you object to sending your final questions?
I object because Jim and I are going to confer and decide which questions we're going to send. And then sending it out to the committee and waiting, you're going to add a week or two. Pretty soon it's going to be Christmas. Or, you know, there's no point to it. Because I don't see, have to burden people with the finesse of evaluating questions going to a program director. It's just not significant. It's like asking the plumber, you know, what do you want to do? What are you going to do? What color are you going to use for the pipe? Are you going to use copper?
Time.
Wait a minute, I got to check with everybody else.
It's time.
It's oversight. Too much oversight.
Time. Anyone else would like to comment?
Yeah, Benito.
Benito.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I tend to agree that more than likely most people will not comment. Maybe no one will comment. But that is neither here nor there. This committee is composed of X number of people. I don't know the number, but I know it's more than two. So when something goes out in the name of the committee, it has to be the product of the committee of however many people that is, and not two people. That's the point. It's a point of democracy. Now, it might just be check the list or, you know, check off on the box, and that more than likely is what it will be. And it might take less than 5 minutes during the next meeting, but the bottom line is it has to be the result of a process of the entire of the committee, not of two people.
All right, Jim Kuzdak.
And Eric Kuzdak also, please.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah, you know, the questions were sent about a week ago. I agree with Benito, it shouldn't be the work of two people. I agree with that. But I sure don't want to wait around with the, I don't want to wait for Godot on all this stuff. It wasn't my fault that this committee didn't meet for 15 months. And the questions I composed are frankly professional questions concerning broadcasting. You know, I'm not asking these people to answer everything specifically. I want them to sort of, you know, think about the specifics of how the whole operation of their program, of their station is operating. And, I'd like to set a final date where we can sort of agree, on everybody's had their input on these questions, and then let's get it off. I don't want to wait a month or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I've been waiting 15 months to get this going. I've been waiting and listening and watching all the dances going on at the national level, which are ridiculous in my point of view. And I think we have to get this kind of stuff out in the air to get something done. I would prefer to get, you know, like maybe like next week, the middle of the week, we set a date. People can, go back and forth on these questions and all that. It's not a no-brainer. I mean, asking people what's the weekly coon for your radio station, what strategy do you have in your marathons, these are sort of generic, gingerbread questions. They're not like asking people, you know. So I just think this is, I don't want to be wasting time. And I agree with Ken about this. I don't want to wait till December about this nonsense.
Eric.
Oh, thank you. Was that Jim that just spoke?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to say quickly in 30 seconds or less. I completely agree with both Jim and Benito. I think if we limit this to two persons, it's going to set a dangerous precedent, and it doesn't hurt for everyone to know what's going on, to be in the loop. I would think, you know, everyone should be notified or be aware of what's going on. So I'm just going to concur with both Benito and Jim.
Okay. All right. So, Jim, would you like to propose a motion for a date by which everyone can look at the supposed questions?
And would a week be enough? Would a week be enough? Benito, would a week be enough for you to look at this stuff?
Well, not really, but it'll have to be. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, I propose that by next Friday, not this Friday, but the following Friday, that'll be the deadline for everybody to comment on it, and then we'll sort of We'll get a first draft done. We'll work on a first draft throughout the time, and, you know, let people know what's going on. But we want to get the whole thing. Ken, you can agree on this or not. I'd like to see it done by next Friday. Not this Friday, but the following Friday. Get the whole thing done, and then we start to send it out by next Friday. That, my motion would be to finish all the work by within a week and a half, and then start sending it out.
Okay. All right. Okay, so are there any objections to this motion?
Just a question, Madam Chair. That would be Friday the 12th.
Let's see. Is that what it would be?
Yeah, finish it by Friday the 12th.
Friday the 12th, okay.
So if people don't comment by that time, then it's a go the way it is.
It will be compiled as it's compiled without those comments.
Jim, to the stack?
Yes, Jim.
Benito, it can be a work in progress. I mean, you know, if we send out a first round of stuff to people, we can always revise it again. You know, we don't have to be rigid about, you know, one, like two of us are taking the responsibility to get it done. We can always add to it. I just want to get the process in motion. That's my main concern here. But we can always add the critiques that people come up with as we're moving along.
That's fine.
Okay. That's all right. So, hearing no objection, this motion carries. Okay.
Grace for the stack.
So we took care of the compilation of written questions and the timeline. Yes, Grace.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to say I read the questions, and they're really excellent questions, so thank you, Jim and Ken. I think it's a really good start. I also wanted to strongly suggest that the Secretary notify everyone who's supposed to be on this committee, who has not attended any meeting so far, that if they do not attend the next programming committee meeting and give them the date, that they will be removed from this committee. Because just as we had difficulty reaching quorum tonight, we're going to continue to have difficulty in the future because there are some people who have their names on this committee and they count toward quorum, but they're incapable, according to other people on the committee, of attending the meeting. So I think that notice has to go out, and I'd like to see that that's done right after this meeting.
Eric, to the stack, Catherine, if I might.
Yes, Eric.
Yeah, I think we addressed already the issue of our colleague here in Washington, so I just want to confirm that this would not apply to him.
It would not apply.
Okay.
For those on the stream, one of the members of this committee from WPFW is on medical leave and will be returning the end of the month. So that person will not be removed.
Okay. Point of information.
Who's that?
This Jim.
Yes. Yes, Jim.
Is our colleague in Texas, Cliff Smith, is he also incapacitated right now?
Yeah, that's... this is Anissa. Yes, he was in a, I don't know, care home of some sort, but the time for him to be available is to be determined. I have not heard anything.
Okay.
So are you saying that both Cliff Smiths are in the same situation?
This is Dwayne Lark. I'd like to clarify.
Yes, Dwayne.
Yeah. I don't believe Cliff Smith is incapacitated. I've seen Cliff Smith in the last month, so we'll deal with that, but not at this road.
Okay. This is Grace for the stack.
Yes, Grace.
Okay, then if Cliff Smith is not incapacitated, I think that he and every other person on this committee who has not attended the last two meetings should be sent a warning that if they don't attend the next meeting, that they will be removed from this committee. Also, I think that this committee should vote to remove the WPFW member who's on suspension for the duration of the time that his membership is suspended. So we don't count him. We don't have to count him toward quorum. We're having difficulty reaching quorum because some people are simply not participating in this committee. So if they're not participating, they should be given one more chance to participate. And if they don't attend the next meeting after being warned, then they should be removed from the committee roster so that we can meet. Now, if they want to then resuscitate their membership, they can do that later. But at this point, we don't want to start wasting meetings if people who don't intend to participate just don't show up and we're still counting them toward quorum.
Right. Grace, I had already ruled that WPFW's member Murray, Cliff, would be removed from the role until he returns from medical leave. So,
Sorry, I wasn't paying enough.
Yeah, so that being the case, he did not count towards quorum today and will not till he won't impact quorum until the time comes for him to either return or not return at the end of the month. So that's not a problem. And it's already a rule that members who have missed two meetings would be informed that if they miss a third meeting. So there needs to be no motion for that. Jim, will you be able to do that?
Yeah, I'll contact the folks that we have in that situation. I think Duane wanted to talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Duane.
Yes, I wanted to ask a question.
Yes.
With respect to the representatives, obviously the committees were comprised so that each station would have X number of representatives. In lieu of this rule of someone being kicked off, I would ask for a time for the KPFT local LSB to replace Cliff Smith and not necessarily throw him off if in fact he is sick and he's not doing it. That's one thing, but we can research that. But we want our representatives on the committee. So if Cliff is not here in the next meeting, whenever we call it, the LSB will be meeting in the next 2 weeks. So we will likely have a replacement.
Okay.
Great.
That's fine. The LSB can vote for a replacement. I'm not aware of any prohibition to that. Okay. So perhaps you can report back if he is in fact incapacitated.
Yes,
and
I will.
If the LSB will be voting on a new person to replace him, that would be helpful.
I will.
Thank you. All right. The next item on our agenda is discussion of potential objectives for the program committee to work on going forward. And underneath that item is coordinating, sharing information about the midterm elections, and that's talking about the official national U.S. elections, and some other issues within the stations, traffic management, station IDs, promotion, and utilizing airtime. The next issue was training. And alternative stations, that means doing internet radio, streaming, podcasting, digital and analog potentials. Underwriting is under that topic. So those are the topics. So does anyone wish to comment on any of these topics of
Here, Eric to the
as
stack.
As a discussion. Who is that?
Eric to the stack, if I might, please, Catherine.
Yes, Eric.
To the point of underwriting, is that in order to address that right now?
It's on the list, yeah.
Okay, I mean, is it scheduled to come up later, or should I speak to it now?
Speak to it now. I asked if anyone wanted to speak to any of the issues.
Okay, it's not really a secret that we've been discussing this, I think, probably for the last 18 months or not longer, at least since I've been around, probably a couple of years. But it, you know, as you know, that it's been lagging. So, I mean, I just looked at a who, what, where, when, why, and how. And the end result here, the objective I was looking for was for this committee to, you know, I guess on a vote to approve, would send a recommendation to the full PNB and hope they wouldn't drag it to get it going. And I think it's probably appropriate, or I would suggest that in terms of who, would just be the stations who want to participate, if they could, or we could develop our own plans to implement this or give a description of why we want this to go. But I'd like that to keep that on the front burner and have this submitted to the full PNB no later than mid-December. You know, the purpose, you know, obviously we need the funds, but I think the benefit here, it raises our profile. It raises the profiles of the other entities that would participate, and it would contribute substantially to our revenue.
Time.
But that's it. I mean, I'm hoping we can get a vote on this and get
time.
The ball rolling.
Okay. Yes, Chris.
Yes, I understand the that there has been some talk about accepting underwriting. I personally am very much opposed to accepting underwriting because the entire branding of Pacifica is that we are independent and we don't take any corporate money. So our independence would be in question. I think any monies we get from corporate underwriting would be negated by members who would feel that this is a betrayal of what Pacifica is all about, and it would impinge negatively on our prestige, but also on our history of being independent and not accepting corporate money. That being said, any proposal for accepting underwriting should be explicit. Is it underwriting with no qualifications? Would we accept? Because once we accept underwriting without qualifications, then we would have to, basically, I think, have to accept whatever underwriter wants to underwrite us. For instance, the Koch brothers or Exxon or Chevron or whatever, big oil companies, military manufacturers, I don't know who. But the other thing is that corporate underwriting in commercial radio and in nonprofit radio is based on our Nielsen ratings. And any monies would be negligible per hour. I mean, the corporate underwriting values the airtime just the way commercial advertisers value the airtime. And our listenership is so low at most of our stations that the amount of money we would get for on-air spot for corporate underwriting would be so negligible, and the administration would be so labor-intensive, it really wouldn't be profitable for Pacifica to move in that direction. So we would be selling out our members and listeners for a paltry amount of money. But if somebody...
Time.
One last thing. Okay.
Finish your thought.
Okay. If somebody wants to have corporate underwriting, if a group or whatever station, then they should put forward a proposal that delineates exactly who would be acceptable, what corporation or nonprofit would be acceptable as an underwriter, and what the parameters would be.
Okay, Tom. I'm sorry, who was that?
Jim.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah, I wanted to speak specifically to that issue.
Point of order, could the person with the fire alarms mute?
I wanted to speak specifically to that issue. One thing that I'd like to get a clarity on is how eligible each of the stations are in the states they reside in to be able to legally obtain money from nonprofit foundations. I know in the state of New York, we're not able to for a whole variety of reasons. A few years ago, the development director announced at a board meeting that for decades, BAI had not actually operated to get a dispensation from the state of California, where our parent is incorporated, to allow us to get money from nonprofits in the state we operate on. And I'd like to know, I'd like to frankly find out what the real deal is about that. And secondly, the issue of underwriting, you know, when we have premium-driven fund drives all the time, you know, it's sort of, I think, sometimes hypocritical because we're using, as we well know, in certain markets, certain types of products from certain people to make money. In a way, we're indirectly underwriting, acting as a marketing tool for that person. But the most important thing I wanted to raise is this issue of the nonprofit question. Have the stations been able to become legally able to get nonprofit money in the states that they reside in or not? That really that refers to Washington, New York, and Texas.
Okay.
Okay. Benito.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, back in February of 2014, the PMB had an in-person meeting in D.C. And Mr. Kriegler, Pacifica's longtime FCC lawyer, did a sort of like a workshop on underwriting. And he spoke to some of the issues that Grace spoke to and some other issues. But the bottom line is, whether we agree or disagree, there are a number, if I remember correctly, there are a number of legal complications with underwriting specifically and especially for nonprofits. So whether we go that route or not, it would behoove us, before we do anything else, we ought to, maybe we can have Mr. Kriegler address and, you know, send us, and maybe some of us still have some of those documents from that in-person meeting, and we could do some reading ahead of time and then have him, you know, do a workshop and take questions from us and this and that. You know, but the bottom line is, this is, okay, this, I just gave history. Now I'm going to give my opinion. Okay, maybe I can give my opinion later.
Okay, so does somebody else want to be on the staff?
Ken.
Catherine, if I could return briefly after everyone else has, this is a point of clarification.
Ken,
Dwayne,
Benito, was there someone else? Eric?
Yeah, I don't need but a few seconds, but I'll go at the end if I might, please.
Okay.
And Jim, and Catherine, I wanted to bring up another subject besides this
okay,
one.
So I'll put, okay, so I'll put you right before Eric. Okay, Ken?
Okay, I distributed out a thing called the Programmer's Guidelines, excerpted from the Pacifica Handbook, which was downloaded from Pacifica.org. And the pages that have the Programmer's Guidelines are number 25, 26, and 27. On 26, four paragraphs up from the bottom, I'll read it. Underwriting is not permitted by the Pacifica Foundation, and neither paid nor unpaid programmers are authorized in any way, shape, or form to offer, promise, or provide promotional services in exchange for program-specific financial support. Okay? So that's a statement there. Earlier in this guideline, it talks about how a programmer has to disclose if any funds were received from a sponsor. So the concept of sponsorship and underwriting is a technical thing, and it's a difference whether it's done or not.
I'm sorry, can somebody please mute?
I've got a point of personal privilege. Can we get somebody to mute their phone? Let's just all be quiet until that person mutes the phone. Because I'm
hello?
Somebody's conversation.
Hello? Please mute. Please mute. Okay.
All right, so there's... All right, they're not muting. Anyhow, currently KPFK does get money for doing advertising, and they call it media sponsorship. But the majority, or the essentially 99% of that, is putting banner ads up on our website to invite people to go to different theatrical events or movies or something like that. It's always an arts thing because we're the media sponsor of a concert or a movie or a play. And we put up the banner, and as a media sponsor, we get compensated from that entity that's doing that production. So that's not considered underwriting. It doesn't relate to the content of any of our program. It's not even on the air. But when you look over, and you can go look at the FCC regulations, which are referenced in this guidelines, it's called in accordance with Section 73.1212. And if you Google Section 73.1212, you will come up with the FCC guidelines about payola and plugola and all of the stipulations they have for nonprofits promoting things, which then they get benefit from, either the program, the programmer, or the station. It's complex. And I think the astute point here is the one that nobody mentions. Who's going to advertise with us, and how much money are they going to give us? We raise, at the various stations, anywhere from $2,000 to $23,000 a day fundraising when we're doing a fundraising pitch. We're not going to get $23,000 from some either nonprofit or commercial institution who wants to be mentioned on the air. So I think that's the point. But I don't think we should violate the bylaws or the programmer's guide.
Dwayne?
Thank you. I think there are reasonable concerns. I do know that in Houston, for instance, it's almost hysteria when this subject comes up for discussion. But what I found is that every station is practically doing what it wants to do with respect to whichever name you describe it, underwriting, payola, or whatever the case is. We have no uniformity, and we certainly have no control about what the five stations are doing with respect to the definition of underwriting. Frankly, my position is that we have been doing underwriting. I can speak to Houston specifically for the last 30 or 40 years. In fact, we've been promoting clubs and Mucky Duck and so many other acts that's on certain commercial places that it's not unclear that we do promote businesses and they benefit from our airways. And who's getting it, I don't know, because the station certainly doesn't get it. But all you have to do is just check the archives. You can see that there's been a consistent airing and promoting of different businesses, particularly clubs and bands and concerts and things of this nature. And someone is benefiting from it, but I can tell you KPFC monetarily doesn't. But I do believe at some point we're going to have to come into the 21st century. And the 21st century says that with the diminishing returns we receive from individual donations and the diminishing membership, the modalities that we use to sustain ourselves nationally and locally are going to have to change.